Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Well, we're broadcasting live for the first time, truly remote on our nationally syndicated program from the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Cupertino, California, out here in the Bay Area in California. Beautiful weather, I would say. They think it's winter, but it looks to me like beautiful springtime. Tonight we talk about embryonic stem cell research. It is a big subject, and it's a subject that continues to unfold before us. We're going to be hearing some ads that are running in the middle of America, ads that are trying to sell the idea of embryonic stem cell research under the guise of banning all human cloning. And our distinguished panel of guests tonight are going to be responding to those ads and to your questions and to your comments. It's Sunday night, February the 19th. We'll be taking your questions and your comments for the next 2 hours on stem cell research. Our call-in number, as usual, we can take it right here on this remote location, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, as usual, issuesetc@kfuo.org. The listeners with the best questions and comments tonight will receive the book written by one of our guests, Wesley Smith, Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. That phone number again, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guests tonight are three. They have gathered here with us live at the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Cupertino. Jennifer Lall is National Director for the Center for Bioethics and Culture and Executive Director of the Bay Area Center for Bioethics and Culture. So this is her first time here with us on Issues Etc. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you.
Our middle guest, Wesley Smith, is a regular guest on the program. You've heard him many times. He's Senior Fellow for the Discovery Institute, and he's author of numerous books. His latest is titled Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. Wesley, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Todd.
You'll notice I grew hair for you this time.
I think my jokes about your hair got to you.
Yes, they did. Yeah. They hurt deeply. And then our last but not least on our panel of guests to discuss stem cell research tonight, Dr. William Hurlbut. He's consulting professor in human biology, the program there at Stanford University, and he is a member of the President's Council on Bioethics. Dr. Hurlbut, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
Before we respond to these ads that are running in Mid-America from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures and respond to the particulars there, I would like to get each of our panelists' perspectives, particular perspectives, on embryonic stem cell research. We'll start with you, Dr. Hurlbut. From a MD's perspective, from a doctor's perspective, what is your deepest concern about embryonic stem cell research?
The fundamental concern about embryonic stem cell research is not the cells themselves, but their source. By current practice, the only way we can get these cells is by the disaggregation, which amounts to the killing, of a human embryo. And that means essentially that these life-saving cures that are being advertised have at their foundation the death of a life, the termination of a life, and that's what's fundamentally the problem. The cells themselves, once separated from their source, if we could obtain them another way, would be morally acceptable, since they cannot form a full organism. And I do think that embryonic stem cell research, or what we're now calling pluripotent stem cells, is an interesting and, if speculative, still possibly promising avenue of inquiry. It's just that there's a fundamental moral question at the bottom of this. Are we going to throw out a long tradition in our civilization and now endorse the instrumental use of human life, albeit at an early stage? Still, it's a very, very big issue.
Wesley, an attorney's perspective, what is your deepest concern about embryonic stem cell research?
I think what's bothering me the most these days is the utter deception of the whole advocacy in favor of embryonic stem cell research, which now is really therapeutic cloning or human cloning. The initiative in Missouri, for example, would create a constitutional right to do what is known as somatic cell nuclear transfer. That's the scientific name for asexual reproduction. Sexual reproduction meaning sperm meets egg. asexual reproduction, meaning cloning, and it is being passed off in Missouri, and I've been back there, just got back from Kansas City, and in Kansas, by the way, as if it were not truly human cloning, and thus was not making a human life for the purpose of destroying it. And let me just give you one example of the kind of deception I'm talking about. People living in the Midwest may recognize the name of Dr. William Neaves, N-E-A-V-E-S, who's the CEO of the Stowers Medical Institute. It's a medical research institution. And he's probably in Missouri, the 800-pound gorilla promoting this agenda. And this is just one example of one of the things that he told a legislature. I testified to the Missouri legislature last year. This is just one of his statements. Quote, SCNT, meaning somatic cell nuclear transfer, is not the same thing as human cloning to create babies. That's his quote. Now let me read to you from the National Academy of Sciences, which is from Scientific and Medical Aspects of Human Reproductive Cloning, which was published in 2002. Quote, the method used to initiate the reproductive cloning procedure is called nuclear transplantation or somatic cell nuclear transfer, SCNT. It involves replacing the chromosomes of a human egg with the nucleus of a body, somatic cell, from a developed human. And it goes on to talk about how if this is developed and implanted, it could become a fetus, which could then lead to a baby. So while Dr. Neaves says SCNT has nothing to do with reproductive cloning, the National Academy of Sciences admits that it does. And that is the kind of deception that we are seeing in propaganda masking as science. And frankly, I think it is utterly disrespectful of democracy, because this could be the most important moral decision of the 21st century, whether to permit human cloning.
Jennifer, a nurse, you're an RN as well as you, all of the other things, all the other positions you occupy. An RN, and to be quite frank, a woman's perspective on embryonic stem cell research.
Well, I think for one, as a woman who practiced nursing for almost 20 years, and a follower of the dirty hands literature, I've always been concerned as a nurse that the hands that I use that deliver care to my patients are clean hands. So issues of moral complicity, that the therapies and the cures and the treatments that we offer to people have been developed on the basis of ethical research and ethical discovery. So that's been something that's obviously been a concern to me in this huge debate that our country has found itself in the middle of. From a women's perspective, and also I'm a mother of four, and three of my children are teenage girls, whenever we talk about doing embryonic stem cell research or embryo cloning research, many of you might already know that we need eggs, and those eggs that are needed for this research come from women. So I have a lot of concerns just about the ethical use of women's bodies as research subjects and as research subjects to very morally tainted research.
Okay, we've got about 2 minutes before we go to our break, and in that time, what I'd like to do is play the first ad that's being put forth in Mid-America by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures, and we'll start with Wesley's briefest response possible to this ad. This is former U.S. Senator John Danforth in these ads from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures.
My entire political career, I voted pro-life. And that is exactly why I favor the stem cell initiative. I believe in saving human life. I want cures to be found. And I want the scientists, the physicians who are here in our state of Missouri to participate in finding these cures. Please join me in supporting the stem cell initiative.
All right, that's the ad. Now, when we come back from this break, time does fly when you're having fun. We're going to get Wesley's response and some of our other panelists' response as well. We also have several other ads to play that are being put forth. You can see already that the push is for cures, for saving lives. Well, Dr. Hurlbut raised the question early on. That's a great thing to want to do, to save lives and to find life-saving cures. But at the cost of what? And I think in this case, at the cost of whom? These human embryos. That's really at the center. We have a regular guest on the program, Scott Klusendorf, who has pointed out many times on the air with us that the question when it comes to all of these life issues, but especially embryonic stem cell research, the question that is often not answered in ads like this or even approached in ads like this is, who is the unborn? And when we're talking about human embryos, even days old embryos, that who question needs to be asked and it needs to be rightly answered, and then we can proceed and talk about the good work of life-saving cures. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back with Issues Etc. Pastor Mark Schaefer, coordinator of continuing education and related events at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the importance of equipping the priesthood of all believers.
It's so important that, the church, we have faithful pastors, but we also have faithful laypersons. The church can't exist without people. And the more that our laypeople understand their role and how they fit in the church, it's good for the church's mission, it's good for the church's service, it's good for the worship life of the church too.
For more information about the spring retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, including one led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. John Seleska, visit their website, ctsfw.edu, or call area code 260-452-2204, 260-452-2204.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're broadcasting live from the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Cupertino, California. Stop by if you're listening here in the local area on KFAX. Stop by and take part in our live broadcast. It's going on for about another hour and 45 minutes. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior is located at 5825 Bollinger Road here in Cupertino. 5825 Bollinger Road. And you can also join us tomorrow if you're in the area. In the afternoon from 1 to 4, we'll be broadcasting our weekday program live from Grace Lutheran Church in San Mateo, California. Folks, there is a place that is preparing future pastors to not only carry out their primary task of preaching the gospel, but also to defend life from beginning to end. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They underwrite Issues Etc. If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Many of the guests you hear on Issues Etc., like Larry Rast or Arthur Just or Carl Fakencher, are members of the Christ-centered, cross-focused faculty there at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Their toll-free number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or you can find out more about them at our website, issuesetc.org, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their logo is at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Their toll-free number, 1-800-481-2155. Jennifer Lawl is our guest, along with Dr. William Hurlbut and Wesley Smith. We're talking about stem cell research. Before the break, we heard Danforth's ad for the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. I'll begin with you, Wesley, a brief response to the ad you heard.
Sure. I talked earlier about how the proposition and the initiative is being pushed by deception. This was a case of pushing it by diversion. That is, he says, Senator Danforth said, I'm pro-life and I want cures. Well, that doesn't say anything. What he is not telling people, and what I think that the proponents owe the people of Missouri, if we're going to have any respect for democracy at all, is an admission that they want to legalize human cloning. But they don't do that because in a recent Virginia Commonwealth University poll, for example, if you ask people whether they believe in using cloning to create an embryo for use in research, 59% say no. And so if they're honest about this, and if they don't divert people's attention about what it is they want to do, they will lose this initiative. So they are moving in a direction that denies they're engaging, that SCNT is human cloning, that denies that early embryos are even human life. And so I would say that it's really a shameful bunch of political spin, diversion and deception that seeks to fool the Missouri people.
Jennifer, what's your reaction to the ad that you heard from former Senator Danforth?
Well, I think it's unconscionable that that he would equate certainly the research with the hype for the cures, because those of us who have been following this debate know that the cures are not easily come by. And so I do think it's unconscionable that he would wave a pro-life credential as an endorsement for his hype of the cures, really preying on the hopes of people that are, you know, are desperate and hungry for cures that we all want.
Dr. Hurlbut, your response, and if you would pick up on something Jennifer was describing there that you mentioned in your very first response, and that is, while this is all very interesting research, the senator makes it sound like the cures are either here already, if we just had the money or the permission, or they're just right around the corner. Is that necessarily true?
No, that's necessarily not true. Most serious scientists will acknowledge that it will probably be decades before any cures ever come directly from embryonic stem cells, if they do. That's not to say this isn't interesting and worthwhile science. That's not the argument, though. It's a moral argument. I think that if it were neutral, it would be worth investigating this interesting realm. We know that the cells themselves are taken from the part of the human embryo that goes on to grow into the child and the adult. That's the lineage of cells. But the point is here that those cells are being obtained at a great cost, a cost to an individual life, but also a cost of principle to our whole civilization. The idea that you would trade one human life, admittedly, very early life, but it is a human life. I know it sounds almost cliche to say it, but it's penetratingly true and powerfully evident to each of us, if we reflect on it, that we too started out as a single cell and went on to that little tiny aggregation of cells that is being sacrificed to get these embryonic stem cells. It's, you know, listening to this Senator Danforth's voice, you can feel that there's a certain conviction in his mind and his heart on this. You can feel that there are laudable goals in where he's intending to go. But the trouble is, it's so much easier to promote promise than it is to protect principles.
Real quickly.
Principles are crucial, though.
Wesley, real quickly, only about 20 seconds.
Sure. And once you decide it's all right to destroy and kill embryos that are, say, 1 week old, why not do it at 2 weeks? Why not do it at 6 weeks? Why not do it at 6 months? The same arguments we hear today for doing early embryonic stem cell research can be used for fetal farming, which has already been legalized in New Jersey.
Jennifer, very quickly.
Yes, I've been such a student of Dr. Hurlbut's, and I think we have, as a society, have lost sort of the wonder and the awe and the mystery of life, and that we have quickly, in our desire to cure sick people, and we all want desperately to cure sick people and to help sick people, we have lost our wonder and respect of early life.
Here's another ad that's running in Mid-America from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. It's simply called The Stem Cell Imperative.
Stem cells could provide cures for diseases and injuries that afflict millions of people, including diabetes, Parkinson's, ALS, cancer, heart disease, and spinal cord injury. But some politicians in Jefferson City want to ban important types of stem cell research and cures in Missouri and make life-saving stem cell research a crime in our state. The Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative was developed to make sure that won't happen. This voter referendum measure will ensure that Missouri patients have access to any stem cell cures that are allowed under federal law. It will ensure that our medical institutions can provide and help develop those cures. And it resolves the cloning issue by banning any attempt to clone a human being. The initiative is supported by a broad coalition of medical and patient groups and people from all walks of life. You can help by signing our petitions to let Missourians vote on this important measure. For more information...
All right, that's the ad from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures called the Stem Cell Imperative. It says, Wesley, that it resolves the cloning issue by banning human cloning. Is that true?
Remember the old song, liar, liar, pants on fire, your nose is longer than a telephone wire.
Quite a voice there, Wesley.
SCMT is human cloning. This initiative takes away the scientific definition of cloning, which is somatic cell nuclear transfer, and replaces it with a political definition of human cloning, which is implantation of the product of SCMT, which isn't even acknowledged to be an embryo, into a uterus. But implantation is not an act of human cloning. Implantation is a use being made for the embryo that is the product of human cloning.
So this would, this initiative, Wesley, just one other point on that before we go to a break, this initiative would in fact...
create a constitutional right to do human cloning in the state of Missouri.
Under the guise of banning human cloning.
Right. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
We might use that for our bump music here. When we come back from this break, I promise I will not let Wesley do any more singing. Wesley Smith is Senior Fellow for the Discovery Institute, author of numerous books, including his latest Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. We're also joined this evening and happy to have Dr. William Hurlbut, Consulting Professor in the Human Biology Program at Stanford University and member of the President's Council on Bioethics. Also, Jennifer Lull, National Director for the Center for Bioethics and Culture and Executive Director for the Bay Area Center for Bioethics and Culture. Our call-in numbers, feel free to join us as we broadcast live from the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Cupertino, California, this Sunday night, the 19th of February, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Write it down and send us an email with a question or a comment. We can get it right here, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Gene Edward Veith, culture editor for World Magazine, on the value of LCMS World Relief.
Well, you know, whenever I see news of a disaster or a terrorist attack or a natural calamity, I hear that just immediately they're on the front lines of this. And as a Lutheran, I feel so proud about that, not in a boastful way, but I feel happy that Lutherans care about the suffering of others, as our theology teaches us to, that we're to live out our faith in love and service to our neighbors.
LCMS World Relief provides Christ-centered, cross-focused care and concern. For more information, contact them at 314-996-1683 or look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Dr. Dean Wenthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Wenthy, how is Concordia Theological Seminary unique?
Our birthright, as it were, is the Christ's presence and his gifts. At the center of all we do here is our confession and worship of Christ and the Holy Trinity, so that more than being simply an academic institution, we're a worshiping institution. We gather as those baptized into Christ. We hear the living voice of Christ through the Scriptures, and we attend his holy table where he gives us his very body and blood. And I think every other aspect of our life together in community, in academic work, in practical and outreach missions, flows from that time around font and altar, where we again hear the saving and truthful word of Christ, and then go forth to share it and to learn how to share it with the whole world. If you look over the Christian landscape, classic Lutheran theology is not frequently held up in its sacramental fullness and in its the beauty of the scriptural witness. And that's our conviction, that by doing this, we may be unique, but we believe we're doing the very best we can for our fellow human beings in holding up Christ and Him crucified with scriptural clarity and with the sacramental gifts that He has bestowed upon His people.
So are you excited about the future of Concordia Theological Seminary?
In every way. I can't believe the blessings that we have been given. As we Lutherans say, not with any merit or worthiness on our part, but by God's grace, He continues to lead talented and dedicated men and women to give their lives to Him and to the truth of the gospel. And I'd like to invite any of your listeners to come and visit us, but more than visit, worship with us, be my guest for a campus tour, and see how our life revolves around this wonderful truth that the incarnate Christ has brought to our world.
That's Dr. Dean Winthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, call them toll-free at 1-877-287-4338 or visit them on the web at www.ctsfw.edu. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the Transfiguration. Dr. Norman Nagel of Concordia Seminary is going to be our guest, just newly retired from a long position there at Concordia Seminary. Is the Transfiguration a minor event in the life of Christ? Why were Moses and Elijah there on that mountain, and why did Jesus forbid his disciples to talk about the Transfiguration until after his resurrection? We'll talk about all of that next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Norman Nagel. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead, check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there at the website, be sure to find out about our monthly donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You can find out how to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer. Reformation Club benefits include tapes and books and transcripts every month. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, and it's right there at our homepage, issuesetc.org. That's your link to the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We're talking about stem cell research, and we're coming to you live this Sunday night, February the 19th. We'll be responding to your questions and your comments on stem cell research for the next 90 minutes. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Before we go on to this next ad, Dr. Hurlbut, there was a short list of very significant and scary diseases in that last ad that the promise was made that embryonic stem cell research, without it mentioning the embryo, of course, would be able to, in the future, cure, if not definitely, then certainly, hopefully, cure ALS, diabetes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. Is there really that kind of hope if they just let us use the stem cells from embryos?
You mean, is there any realistic promise or hope? There's definitely hope.
Is there any indication right now in any research that has been done that any of those diseases is a target for cures?
Well, that's a complicated question. I think, first of all, in that list are some diseases, for example, Alzheimer's disease. We don't even know the cause of that disease. To be promising the cure is a little bit of a stretch. We in the President's Council had one of the world's authorities on Alzheimer's disease come and speak to us, and one of the members asked him, are embryonic stem cells on your list of possible cures? And he said, well, if they are, the number 15, by that he meant very unlikely. But I don't want to say what you can and can't do with embryonic stem cells. That's not the issue. The issue is, what are the moral problems in the way we're currently proceeding? We can talk about this later, but I believe there are ways to get these same cells in a morally acceptable manner through a proposal I put forward called altered nuclear transfer, and there are other proposals that have been outlined by the President's Council on Bioethics. I think it's worth pursuing the science, but not at the cost of the fundamental principle on which our civilization is built. You know how it says in the Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life is the fundamental cornerstone of a civilized society. The protection of life is. I'm a physician. I'm also, by the way, the father of a handicapped child. My first child suffered really bad brain damage at birth. I know the agony that people feel in the presence of disease. I don't think embryonic stem cells hold the promise for everything that people have said, but they will lead us to some knowledge and some understanding. We've sequenced the human genome. We're now understanding the proteins the genes code for. From here on out, we're going to study how the living organism is put together. But when it comes to human biology, that means living human embryos. So we need to find a way to go forward with a science that's morally acceptable. Otherwise, there will be a whole host of challenges, not just embryonic stem cells, but many uses of human embryos. And if you don't think that's true, you should talk to Lord Alton, who's a member of the United Kingdom House of Lords. And he told me that they estimate that in the United Kingdom, they've so far used about 200,000 embryos in experimentation.
Jennifer, one subject that always comes up whenever we talk about embryonic stem cell research, and especially the public push for it, is, and Wesley brought this up, there is a fair amount of deception, there is also diversion, and then there's also the ever-present euphemism. Mm-hmm. When we say something like life-saving cures, mm-hmm. and ignore the fact that that comes at the cost of a human life, people don't get that. What do you think is the best way to respond to the ever-present euphemisms used by those who promote embryonic stem cell research, making something very bad, like destroying a human embryo, sound like a great thing?
Yeah. Well, I always tell people, beware of euphemisms. I mean, they're everywhere, where the language is just hijacked. And when I listen to that ad, I mean, the first word is this research can. Well, can doesn't mean it will. Can doesn't mean it's going to happen anytime soon. Can means maybe. And then I heard ensure. And this isn't like what you give grandma so that she has good nutritional value that comes in a can from Long's. It says ensure as in promises. And we're in the Silicon Valley here. You make those kind of claims and they don't come true, you go to jail. If I walk in as a nurse into a patient and ask them to sign a consent and I say, this treatment will cure you, I promise you that, I am in legal hot water here. So to walk in and say, this may help you, this may not help you, and oh, by the way, this is what's going to happen. We're going to destroy hundreds of thousands of human life embryos, so that maybe we might someday find a cure. So here's the deception that Wesley's talking about. Here's the euphemisms. Here's the language that's been robbed and stripped down of its ethical meaning, its truth, because of fear and because we're so desperate to find cures.
Wesley, very briefly.
You know what's funny and ironic is that opponents of human cloning stick to the science. And, for example, when I said embryonic somatic cell nuclear transfer, which I suppose we should describe at some point, is human cloning. SCNT is the, if it's done with a human, it's human cloning. When it was done with sheep, you got Dolly. So the science is really true. And it seems to me that there is a tremendous corruption of science going on, a corroding influence, where science is ceasing to provide us with objective information. And then from that objective information, different people can make different moral arguments. Instead, you've got people coming forward with the imprimatur of being a scientist and speaking ideologically I was at an editorial board meeting the other day at a big newspaper in Missouri that I won't mention, and I was pointing out the deception, as we've touched on, and the editorial board assistant editor said, but this person who said this is a scientist. And I said, well, just because a scientist says something doesn't mean it's science. So what you see is people claiming to be speaking in a scientific way, speaking in an ideological way. And eventually, if people come to realize that science has become just another special interest that is willing to spin and create subjective fictions and speculate when they're saying it can be done or is being done, then the entire enterprise of science, which is so important to the advancement of the human condition, will be undermined.
Very briefly, Dr. Hurlbut, and then Jennifer, a comment there too, and then we'll play our next ad.
Well, it's very important to recognize that even when a scientist speaks authoritatively about moral issues, he's not speaking with scientific authority. I mean, he's speaking as though he has some special knowledge, but that is not within his purview as a scientist any more than it is anybody else's purview. In other words, we all are the authorities collectively on moral matters. Scientists don't know any more about moral matters than you do. And sure, a scientist may know more about molecular biology, but it's an empirical, it's a study that the whole method of science is reproducible replication of findings by empirical studies. And these are not matters within the domain of science fundamentally. These are matters for the whole human family.
Jennifer.
And just to tag on to that, I mean, the point is that science just gives us the raw data. I mean, it just tells us, you know, measures something, it tests something, it gives us data. It's the hermeneutic that brings meaning to that. And those are the moral voices that come in and say, what does this data mean to us? What do we do with it? What don't we do with it? Though the heavens may fall, where are the lines?
And what's going wrong in this campaign is the scientists are not giving the objective data. They're giving non-scientific data, pretending it is the scientific truth when it isn't.
I'm going to give you a big task here, if you would, Dr. Hurlbut. We have less than 2 minutes until this break. I would like you to explain something Wesley brought up there that we really ought to explain in a little detail, that is somatic cell nuclear transfer. And then when we come back from the break, if you would, explain what you mentioned before, and that is altered nuclear transfer, the real basic difference between those two. SCNT, with 1 minute, I'm sure you can do it.
Okay, I do it a lot. So SCNT is the same thing we know in the popular language as therapeutic cloning. The way it is done is you take a woman's egg, you take the nucleus out of that cell, and you replace it with the nucleus from an adult body cell, like a skin cell, for example. And then you zap it with a little electricity, just like they did with Frankenstein, by the way, to get the activated life
Very
principle
silly,
going.
Thank you.
So you zap it with a little electricity, and that activates it the same way a sperm activates in normal fertilization. You've created the equivalent of the process that starts with fertilization, at least in some cases. A lot of cases there's technical problems and nothing grows at all. So, you know, there's a high failure rate. This is what we call SCNT, cloning, somatic cell nuclear transfer, there are a variety of names for it. The President's Council renamed it cloning for biomedical research to try and take some of the atmospherics of promised but not present cures out of it.
And when we come back from this break, a very brief definition of something quite different without, hopefully, the ethical problems, altered nuclear transfer. And then we're going to be taking your phone calls, 1-800-730-2727. Your questions and comments for our panel on stem cell research, 1-800-730-2727.
Do you find it to be a struggle when you read the Old Testament? Lots of judgment, wrath, and punishment, and what seems to be very little grace, mercy, and peace. Well, you'll find our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February a helpful resource. It's the Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel. For more information, you can call Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number is 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more on our website, issuesetc.org. This new Bible commentary costs $42.99 plus shipping and handling. The Concordia Commentary on Ezekiel is written by Dr. Horace Hummel. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. How are the visions and oracles in Ezekiel relevant to God's people today? And where do we find Jesus in this Old Testament book? Find out with a Concordia commentary on Ezekiel, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths to the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Folks, here's our mailing address and a phone number to receive a complimentary copy of our next Issues Etc. journal, or to help support Issues Etc. It's Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian with a tax-deductible gift. The address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or the resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. We're talking about embryonic stem cell research tonight with a panel of guests. Before we go to our phone calls, you did a great job in less than a minute describing somatic cell nuclear transfer, now altered nuclear transfer. Why is this different?
It's the difference between a living being and a collection of cells that do not have in themselves the coordinated organization that characterizes a living being. Altered nuclear transfer would use this, the basic technology of nuclear transfer, but with a preemptive alteration, something that's done before the ingredients are mixed, such that what was produced was simply a laboratory construct that was incapable of the organization that characterizes an organism. An organism is a very amazing thing. What is the difference between life and pure chemistry when you think about it? Because we all know we're made of chemicals. But it's the way the chemicals are organized. To create an organism, you need to have the right combination of fundamental molecules. Altered nuclear transfer would assure that that combination was not present. The way natural development proceeds is there are sort of modular subsets, subsystems within the larger whole system. And there are natural models for altered nuclear transfer that are not considered organisms and yet do produce embryonic-type stem cells, pluripotent stem cells. So it's a very feasible project. It's been done already in mice by Rudolf Janisch at MIT. It has the interest and excitement of a great many people, including some of our leading moral philosophers and religious authorities. It's really hopeful. It's a third option, a way for a win-win solution to this whole debate that's tearing our nation apart.
Let's talk to our listeners. 1-800-730-2727. We begin with Byron, calling from Berkeley, California, listening on KFAX. Hi, Byron.
Hello. Can I be heard at this point?
Yes, you can.
I want to react at the start of the program here. The excerpts from what I guess they call the politicians about stem cell research. Those are the phrases he used. And I make a great big distinction in my mind so far between adult stem cell research and embryonic stem cell research. On the panel, I'm hearing nothing but embryonic stem cell research. That's fine if it's consistent. But I can't see mixing the two together. They seem to be remotely apart in my mind at this point.
All right, Byron, I think your concern is shared wholeheartedly by every person on the panel. Let's have Wesley respond very
quickly. Right. We've been
Thank you,
Byron. We've been focusing on a different aspect of the debate than the adult stem cell research. The adult stem cell research is a completely moral and ethical approach to finding what are called regenerative cures. And the idea behind stem cell research and stem cell medicine, without getting into the type of stem cell, is that if you have a part of the body, say in Parkinson's, where there's a part of the brain that degenerates, and this is a part of the brain that creates a substance known as dopamine, and dopamine helps us with our movement. And if you have Parkinson's disease, meaning you have the problem with dopamine, you end up with the rigid gait. Think of Pope John Paul II. Remember, early in his pontificate, he had these big smiles, and he was very athletic. And toward the end of the pontificate, you never saw him smiling. And so you might think, oh, he was just a crabby old man. It wasn't that he was crabby. It's that the Parkinson's kept him from being able to smile in that way. Now, the idea behind stem cells is to be able to try to regenerate that section of the brain and then rebuild those dopamine-creating brain cells so that, if not a cure, you have a treatment, perhaps you have a remission. Now, adult stem cells would take your own body cells, your own stem cells, say from the bone marrow, or from the blood. We have stem cells in fat, which means I'm a cornucopia of stem cells. And use those sources, your own cells, to be potent medicine, as opposed to embryonic stem cells where you destroy another organism, another human life, to obtain those cells.
So it's just as, Byron, it's just as Dr. Hurlbut said in his first response to earlier in the program, that the stem cells themselves are not the problem. It's the source. If the source is a human embryo that must be destroyed to harvest the stem cells, there is the ethical problem, of course, as you would agree, Byron. Whereas with adults, we can take them without doing harm to those from whom they're harvested. Next up on the line, 1-800-730-2727, is Janine calling from Camdenton, Missouri. She listens on KCRL. Hi, Janine.
Hi. There's actually two parts to this. One of them is I have heard or read that New Jersey has a law in the books already which allows for this SCNT to take place where they actually implant and grow the embryo up to birth as long as they don't allow reproductive cloning. And the second one is there anything in the law that they're charged, this proposition for Missouri, that would in any way stop that from happening?
Okay, that's an excellent question, Janine, and two good questions. Thank you very much for the call. Let's see. Dr. Hurlbut, are you aware of any law in New Jersey or any permission in New Jersey that would permit allowing a cloned embryo to go virtually to term?
Let's let Wesley answer. He's the lawyer here.
Okay. Wesley, what's the law that he's talking about? Is there truth to this?
Absolutely. There is absolute truth to it. And one of the prime movers and shakers trying to stop that law was Bill Hurlbut, who, when it was pending, along with three colleagues of his at the President's Council, sent a letter to then-Governor James McGreevy warning that this bill would create fetal farming, and that was the first time I'd ever heard that term. And everything in legislation is the definition. So in New Jersey, what the law permits is human somatic cell nuclear transfer, specifically. In other words, human cloning. It then does not outlaw implantation. That which is not illegal is by definition legal. It then claims to outlaw human cloning, but look at the definition that is made for human cloning of a human being. Quote, as used in this section, cloning of a human being means the replication of a human individual by cultivating a cell with genetic material, that's the somatic cell nuclear transfer, through the egg, embryo, fetal, here's the key word, and newborn stages into a new human individual. That means if you take the SCNT product through the egg, embryo, and fetal stage, but do not permit it to get to the newborn stage, you have not broken the law. Therefore, this law explicitly permits cloning, implantation, and gestation up to the very moment prior to birth.
And then with only a second, yes or no, does the Missouri proposal have any safeguards against the same thing, yes or no?
It's not as open, but it does have a problem because it prevents implantation for the purpose of initiating a pregnancy to create a fetus or get to birth, which would allow gestation for late-stage embryos.
Jennifer, you had something you wanted to add, or time is very short.
I just think that the New Jersey legislation makes the point about the deception, because when I stop and talk to just average citizen on the street and tell them about the New Jersey legislation, they can't believe it. They think I'm making something up, like I live on a planet. And what happened in California with Prop 71, I mean, we asked the voters to read a more than 10,000-word initiative, so that embedded in these technical terms, these scientific terms, these, you know, promises for cures, our legislation that says we can gestate up to 9 months and a cloned human embryo.
All right, our conversation is going to continue on the other side of this break. A lot of people wanting to talk to us on the phone, and our panel is anxious to speak as well. Janine, give us a call back. I'm going to send you a copy of Wesley's book, Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World, 1-800-730-2727. We are coming to you live this Sunday night, February the 19th. We will continue to respond to your phone calls and to your email on embryonic stem cell research and bioethics in the next hour. 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number. We'll be giving away Wesley's book, Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World, to listeners with the best questions and comments in the next hour. This break is a great time to call. 1-800-730-2727 or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, you can listen to this next hour on the web. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and click Listen Online, and you'll be able to hear the next hour as we continue our conversation on embryonic stem cell research with Jennifer Lall, William Hurlbut, and Wesley Smith. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The question remains here to the source of stem cells. Here is the promise, and thank God we have discovered the promise of these cells. Here is the dilemma. Where shall we get them? Shall we get them from a source that will require us to take a life to save a life, or will we get them from sources where no life must be taken and lives may be saved? The promises are being made on both sides of this. The promises of the side who would call for the death of the human embryo, well, they don't mention that human embryo very often. And perhaps the best thing we can do as we look at this issue is bring the embryo out and let everyone see who we're really talking about. We'll continue on the other side of this break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.